Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Second Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesieth good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers, and said, Fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes. And they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Kenaanah had made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king, the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said to him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again he said, Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake after, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, Thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah the son of Kenaanah came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, Take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, all ye people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah went up to Ramoth-Gilead, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and will go into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, It is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, Turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Controversial chapter has a lot of wonderful information about God and about his providence and his dealing in the world. So let's go ahead and take it up. There are several things going on. It's a complex passage. The first part, then, is that Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and then he joined affinity with Ahab. That was a mistake. That was a problem. Remember that Ahab had married Jezebel, that Jezebel's father's name was a man by the name of Et-Baal. He was the master. The term Baal means master. He was a Baal worshiper, and Ahab brought Baal worship through his wife Jezebel into the northern kingdom. Up until the time of Ahab, Baal worship was not in the northern kingdom, only the perverse worship of Jehoshaphat, which was bad, of Jehoram, which was bad enough. And that's still not the right name, Jeroboam, which was bad enough. However, now we have bringing this Baal worship in, and we note, don't we, that there's this meeting here. We hear of Ahab's 400 prophets. We hear of him offering all kinds of offerings, and Jehoshaphat is present at the time. Now I want to say something about that. Jehoshaphat goes to see Ahab, and Ahab, for his part, holds a great big service, and there are offerings offered, and Jehoshaphat remains. That should have been his cue to exit stage left, but he didn't. He stayed. He's trying to be magnanimous here. He's naive. He's letting his, can I say it this way? His heart lead him rather than his reason and his understanding of the truth. If he understood the truth, he would have said to himself, Here I am present at an idol worship service. I got to go home. I have to leave. But he didn't. He stayed. So then Ahab convinces him. Ahab is thinking by now, well, if he's going to stay for this, I've got all kinds of leverage here. And so he says to him, will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead and help me against the Syrians? Notice what Jehoshaphat says. And this is one of the most untrue things that he could ever have said. He said, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Beloved, we cannot make such covenants with idol worshipers. We can't do it. All right, so even in our confession of faith, we talk about the proper view of marriage. And we say that we should marry only in the Lord and that we should not marry with papists or other idolaters, is how we put it in our confession of faith. All right, so Jehoshaphat said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And I'm going to require of you to look closely at your Bibles and watch the names of God that pass by. When he says, inquire at the word of the Lord, that's Jehovah. That's the Tetragrammaton. That's God's special covenant name. And so Ahab trots out his 400 prophets. We'll see that by the time Elijah comes on the scene, that's ballooned into 450 prophets, and they meet on Mount Carmel. We can reasonably infer that these are the prophets of Baal from the question that Jehoshaphat asks after they all prophesy, yes, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. But notice that in their first pronunciation, there is no mention of the name of Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton. It's not mentioned there. They just say, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. And notice what Jehoshaphat then asks. Is there not here a prophet of Jehovah besides that we might inquire of him? I've heard 400 prophets, but I haven't heard a word from Jehovah yet. That's the inference from what Jehoshaphat says. Now, it's commendable that he asks that question. He's making use of his illicit communion there at that point. It is a good question to ask, though his presence there is doubtful. Okay, so Ahab says, yeah, there's one guy. He's a prophet of Jehovah. His name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I don't like him. In fact, I hate him. Why? Because he never tells me what I want to hear. These other prophets here, they always tell me what I want to hear. I love them. They're great. That's the inference, isn't it? Every time I go to a prophet, I go to these guys because they're going to help me. Right? They're going to fulfill my will. They're going to do what I want. I'm leading with my heart here, and they're following me, and they're helping me with that. I want to go up to Ramoth Gilead, and I want you to go with me. And all my prophets have said, this is great. This is a good thing. Jehoshaphat says, how about a prophet of Jehovah? So they call for Micaiah. And they bring Micaiah in, and while they are bringing him in, this is very, very interesting. Notice what happens. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat both sat on their throne, I'm in verse 9, at the void place at the gate of Samaria. Very official now. Now they're no longer holding a worship service. Now they're holding a meeting of state. Here they are in the gate of the city. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, had made him horns of iron. And he brings these horns out as sort of an object lesson. He says, with these horns, you will push Syria until they be consumed, except for, he adds one thing that he had never said before until now, thus saith Jehovah. Note that the 400 prophets are now claiming the name of Jehovah for their prophecy since Jehoshaphat asked about, do we have a prophet of Jehovah? Now they take Jehovah's name in their mouths. And all the prophets, verse 11, prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for Jehovah shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And then this is when the messenger who's bringing Micaiah in says, we have unanimity among the prophets here. So make sure your voice is like their voice. You don't want to be odd man out, do you? And we find out from Micaiah what metal he's made of. Whatever Jehovah my God tells me to speak, that's what I will speak. That's a man of God, even if it's one against 400. Okay, so then he comes into the king, and the king says to Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. This is one of those times when we have to add a little inflection because of Ahab's response. Because Ahab immediately turns to Jehoshaphat and says, didn't I tell you? He never tells me what I want to hear. And so it's obvious that Micaiah had spoken sarcastically. It was obvious to Ahab. Oh, yes, Ahab, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. Or he may have swept his hand out over the 400 prophets that were there. Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. It was obvious that he was not in agreement with the word of the 400 prophets. And Ahab picked that up and complained to Jehoshaphat. All right, so now we have Micaiah's true prophecy. And it's an amazing word. So Micaiah says, well, I saw Israel without as sheep without a shepherd. These have no master. Let him return to his own house. And finally, then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Notice how that doesn't stop Micaiah. Now he goes forward and gives the word of Jehovah in truth. I saw him sitting on his throne and the host of heaven on his right and left. And the Lord said, Jehovah said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall, not prosper, at Ramoth-Gilead? It's a little different than prosper, isn't it? Yes. And one spake after this manner, and another after this manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before Jehovah and said, I will entice him. I'm using the term Jehovah so that you'll know what we're talking about here. And Jehovah said unto him, wherewith? And the spirit said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And so Jehovah says to him, thou shalt entice him, go out and do that. This has given commentators a lot of trouble over the centuries, because here you have the Lord commanding a spirit to go lie. Well, we have to deal with it as it sits here in the scripture. This is clear. The Lord did command the spirit to go and tell a lie. The Lord didn't tell a lie. It's impossible for him to lie. But the Lord can command a spirit to go tell a lie, and yet because he is God, he does that with perfect uprightness. In other words, he is God and we are not. And so there are things that God can do that are divine works, and God's holiness is such that he can command something like this and still remain completely holy in so doing. But if we did the same thing, we would be sinners because we're not God, because we're weak, because we're flesh. If I would suborn one of you to go tell a lie somewhere, I would be guilty. You would be guilty for lying, and I would be guilty for suborning you to lie. But God is not guilty because he can undertake such an action and be untainted by it, because he's God. Dr. Gordon Clark will say that this passage reveals to us that God is ex lex. He is outside the law, apart from the law, that the law is his own morality adapted to us for our obedience, but God will and must and does often act outside of that law because that law does not apply to him in the same way that it applies to us. That what God has expressed to us in his law is his commanding will as to how we should behave ourselves, and he is our authority. And because there is no authority over God, and there is no definition of goodness or holiness or uprightness outside of him, that everything he does is good, upright, and holy by definition, and everything that he defines for us as good and upright and holy in his law is for us, so then we can't do such things as God has shown himself to do here. All right, so the lying spirit, so then he will give the conclusion of the matter that the Lord has sent a lying spirit. Jehovah has sent a lying spirit into the mouth of all your prophets. And this is why they're telling you to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. Now you can listen to the word of the Lord, or you cannot. And the fascinating part that many commentators miss here is that Not only did God send a lying spirit in the mouth of all of Ahab's prophets, but God also sent a truth-telling prophet to tell him about those lying spirits. And so God would vindicate his own justice here by giving Ahab an out, by giving Ahab the truth. But Ahab chooses his desire over the truth. So then that same Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, who had the iron horns earlier, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek. We might say it was probably a mercy that he didn't raise one of those iron horns on him. But he didn't. But he did give him a nice trim across the cheek. And then he asks a very sarcastic question. Which way went the spirit of Jehovah from me to speak unto thee? In other words, what I've just done is given you a stroke from the Lord. And Micaiah answers by saying, well, you'll understand, you'll see, when you're hiding yourself in an inner chamber because you're a sheep without a shepherd, when your king is dead. Okay, so then the king of Israel answers, and he says, okay, well, here's what we're going to do with you, Micaiah, because you won't speak according to the erstwhile unanimity of the prophets, we're going to put you in prison, and we're going to feed you with bread and water of affliction until I return. And Micaiah says, you will never return. And if you do, the Lord has not spoken by me. In other words, if you return at all, then I deserve to be in prison because I've spoken falsely. All right, so in he goes. So now we have the battle scene, and that begins in verse 28. They all went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Oh, by the way, Micaiah's final word to the people that were standing there to hear this exchange is, hearken, all ye people. Listen to my words. Don't depend on these prophets nor the king of Israel. All right, so now they go up to battle, and again we see the naivete of Jehoshaphat in that Ahab says, well, you know, let's say you get more glory than me in this battle. You go ahead and dress in your kingly robes, and I won't. I'll just, you know, blend in with the army. How does that sound? Okay, he says. Well, that doesn't sound very wise to any of us. It may be that Jehoshaphat was naive. One of the things that accompanies naivete is that very often as Christians, we expect unbelievers to have the same mindset as we do. And we find that they didn't at all. Actually, they were out to harm us, although with a pleasant face. So we must not give out our trust and affections to those who do not share our faith, because sooner or later, these kinds of activities will flow. So the king of Syria said, I'm only after one guy here today. That's Ahab, the king of Israel. They found Jehoshaphat. His soldiers did. They surrounded him because they thought he was Ahab. And he said, no, I'm the king of Judah, not Israel. It's okay. And they left him. God protected him that day. And we note how much God's hands are in this whole scenario, not only in the prophecy, but in the battle itself. So Ahab thought to use earthly means to escape. And so he said, I'll just blend myself into the army. The battle raged. And what happened? A guy just, oh, I'm tired of not shooting at anybody. So he draws his bow and he lets it fly. And what happens? Well, it hits Ahab between the plates of his armor. And he tells his charioteer, please take me out of the battle. I'm sore wounded. And the battle raged for the rest of the day. And at the going down of the sun, Ahab died, just like Jehovah said through his prophet Micaiah, the one out of the 401. Beloved, the word of God will never fall to the ground, will it? It will always, always come to pass. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Chronicles